store because it ends February 2nd. See Ford.ca for details.
Brought to you by Bodog.net, your trusted source for sports odds, free online casino games, and poker. Bodog.net. Learn easy, play hard.
This is CFAC 960 AM. Sportsnet 960 The Fan. From Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Owned and operated by Rogers Communications. We are Sportsnet 960 The Fan. This is a Sportsnet Connected update on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
There will be two members of the Calgary Flames participating in the All-Star Game this Sunday from Columbus. With Sidney Crosby pulling out of the festivities with a lower body injury, the NHL announcing this morning that rookie Johnny Gaudreau, who was set to participate in the skills competition, will also now be playing in Sunday's showcase event alongside Flames captain Mark Giordano. Tonight is the All-Star Draft, where captains Jonathan Toews and Nick Foligno will select their teams for the All-Star Weekend, schoolyard style. You can watch the selection starting at 6 o'clock tonight on Sportsnet West. In the WHL, Calgary in action tonight at the Scotiabank Saddledome, hosting the Swift Current Broncos. It's the first of a three-game weekend for the Hitmen. They play the Oil Kings in Edmonton tomorrow and will be back in town to host the Vancouver Giants Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Calgary currently sitting fifth in the Eastern Conference. It's a 7 o'clock start from the Dome. Brad Curl and Ken Thrower have the call on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Roger Federer has been ousted from the Australian Open. The second-ranked Swiss star suffered a shocking third-round setback to world number 46, Andrea Seppi of Italy, 6-4, 7-6, 4-6, 7-6. Two Canadians will look to avoid the same fate later tonight. Milos Raonic has German Benjamin Becker, while Vancouver's Vasek Pospisil has Spain's Guillermo Garcia Lopez. Raonic and Pospisil can join fellow Canuck Eugenie Bouchard in advancing to the fourth round of the tennis season's first major. For scores and more, it's sportsnet.ca/960.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Home for Boomer and Warner in the morning and Flames hockey at night. Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Calgary. One hour of hockey talk to kick off your afternoon. This is Hockey Central at Noon, only on Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
We're stopping in with you. Pat Steinberg away for the weekend. He's back on Tuesday. When the Flames come back, Pat comes back. It's in his contract. He's not allowed to be here when they're not here. Actually, that's not true at all. Hey, listen, you too can be an all-star. All you have to do is travel to Columbus, Ohio. Hang around the All-Star Game facilities. And then when Sidney Crosby pulls the chute, you can be starting on Sunday. At least that's the experience for Johnny Gaudreau of the Calgary Flames. He was in the Columbus, of course, for some of the festivities. He was going to be participating. And then Sidney Crosby went, hey, not feeling good. And they said, you know what? We could try to fly a guy in or whatever. We got this kid here. He's popular. The Americans love him. He's got the Johnny Hockey thing going. So Johnny Gaudreau is going to play in the big game on Sunday. Aaron Ekblad also gets the assignment to play on Sunday. Coming up later this hour, Brad Curl, our weekly Hitmen news and updates. He'll be interviewing head coach Mark French and talking about this weekend. Busy weekend, Swift Current, Edmonton, and Vancouver on the lineup for the Hitmen. In the next hour, Jason Lacanfora joins us. Talk about Deflategate and all those other things. We'll go around the NHL, and then Rob Kerr joins us at 2 o'clock. But it's a good time to sort of take a pause, a little bit of perspective, see where we're at. It's the All-Star break, which it's not the halfway point, but it sort of feels like it in the NHL. Talk about some of the big issues. Who surprised us? Who hasn't surprised us? None better than to talk to about these types of things, our good friend John Shannon, the man who made Hockey Night in Canada what it is today. Right, John?
What does that mean?
Well, exactly. Now answer that question. What is it today?
what an intro. Thank you, Bruce.
There you go. Well, listen, it's all on you, baby. Whatever people think.
Oh, please.
I want to talk about some of the Canadian teams and some of the surprises and the disappointments. But I guess the first place I wanted to start with, and I know you're tuned to these stuff, we're looking at an 80-cent Canadian dollar. We get south of that into the 70s, et cetera. How big a concern is this for cities like Ottawa and Winnipeg, et cetera? How much is the decline of the dollar an issue, and how much are they talking about it?
Well, I don't think it's limited to Canada. I think everybody in the NHL has to be considered with the decline of the dollar when you consider how much revenue of the NHL comes out of Canada anyway. And so when you're divvying up dollars from profits in the NHL and dividing it 30 ways and then having to convert it to U.S. I mean, it's a factor for everybody. You know, there's still more than 50% of the revenue in this league comes from Canada, Bruce. So that's something that does affect everyone in the NHL.
Just a quick question, because, again, you know, broadcasting. The Canadian NHL rights that Sportsnet purchased, is that an American dollar deal as well? So, in other words, if the Canadian dollar drops, it's even more expensive?
I don't think so.
No? Okay. I'm asking.
No, I don't think so.
Because, again, that's the pie that gets carved up and gets distributed, as you say, to the other 30 teams.
Yeah, but I mean, other deals, other big deals with other corporate partners, whether it be breweries or retailers. I mean, you know, the driving force of this league has always been what people like Scotiabank do. And those deals come out of Canada.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, people here in this town are, you know, old enough to remember, or young enough to remember even, Harley Hotchkiss sitting there in the 2000s and saying, listen, with a 65-cent dollar, something's got to happen or we're not going to be here in action. And I just wonder, at what point do we get to write serious talk about the viability of smaller markets?
Well, I think there's a lot more stability in the game today. I think when you consider that, when Harley was making those statements, all valid, by the way, you know, this was not a $3 to $4 billion business. It might have been a quarter of that at a time when, you know, there was more than 70% of dollars were going back to the players, as opposed to, well, by the time this CBA ends, 50%. So there were a lot of mitigating circumstances for that statement to be made, and I do believe that the adjustments that both the players and the owners made, and then the growth of the game, I think that they've compensated and created stability for a lot more of the teams.
Yeah, I see that the NHLPA head Don Fehr has appeared. He's come out of the weeds. We don't see much of him, but he's come out of the weeds, and he's talking about how the players are upset about the escrow and the amount that's being held back, etc., and that the players might be in favor of possibly not seeing the salary cap grow so quickly. Can you explain what he's complaining about?
Well, it's difficult when you consider that it was negotiated. I mean, he and his people were in the room when this escrow situation was discussed, and basically what happens is when you have a revenue sharing situation, in order to make sure that both sides get the exact amount of revenue they're supposed to get, there's a holdback to the, and the players have a holdback, in order to make sure that, by the end of the year that the revenue goals are reached. And if they're not reached, then some of that money gets sent to the owners. And if the goals are reached, then that money gets returned to the players. So in the end, it's not necessarily the players are losing money. It's the timing of when the money gets to the players. And that I guess that's a bigger issue. The other one is, and without, you know, we haven't talked CBA very much in the last couple of years, and what a relief that has
been. Thank God, yes.
The other thing is, don't forget the players, you know, every year have an opportunity to automatically increase the salary cap by 5%.
Yeah.
You know, in the escalator. And if Don is talking about, well, we won't invoke the escalator in order to try to improve the holdback situation, then maybe that makes some sense.
Yeah, because teams are trying to extrapolate, where's the cap going to be? This is a long-term CBA. Where's the cap going to be, let's say, when it's over? Okay, now how can we pay our players over the next 5 to 7 years anticipating that? And, of course, if it goes nowhere, if it stays put, then maybe some teams might get pinched.
Well, I think teams are going to get it pinched anyway, and it simply because you know, salaries have increased for the elite players so rapidly. You know, there's a quite a disparity now between the haves and the have-nots when it comes to player salary and rosters, and that to me is a factor that I'm not sure that people know how to address. And really what happened is, you want to hold on to your long-term guys. You want to hold on to players that are the core guys, and that's the risk you take. Chicago is obviously the best example with the long-term deals that they signed a few years back with Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook, and they got Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane in a similar situation. And when you carve out so much of the dollars for four players, and I'm going to do the math in my head, it's probably close to $35 million for four guys.
Yep.
Well, that means you've got, what, probably around 40, maybe not even 40 million next year to, you know, to sign 19 or allocate to 19 players. That's going to be a problem for a lot of teams, not just the Blackhawks.
Yeah. Not a problem that the Flames have at the moment because they're not fully invested yet. They haven't had to pay the big bucks. Their team is growing, so they're in an enviable position. We're talking with John Shannon.
You are going to have issues. I mean, you know, look at that roster and look what Brian and Brad have done with the roster. And when you consider guys like Sean Monahan, what's Sean Monahan's second contract going to look like?
Well, yeah, I mean, one of the reasons I was on record last year is saying that I know he could play in the NHL last year, but my question was, do you want to start the clock ticking on his contract that soon? But, you know, let him play in the World Championships, maybe let him play at the end of the year and come back, and you're still 1 year away from having to give him the big bucks. But, I mean, yeah, they made the decision to play. Clearly the kid is able to play at this level, and so there's no loss that way.
There's arguments on both sides, Bruce, for the Monahan situation, because I think that what Sean Monahan did last year in many ways reinvigorated the franchise. I mean, let's face it, this was a franchise that, internally they may not agree, but on the hockey side, there was a little bit of disarray. And what Sean Monahan did and a few of the other guys did was create some stability.
Yeah.
And people bought into the stability. People enjoyed the way they played. And did they get to the playoffs? No. But certainly the attitude of Flame fans and the attitude of the Flames themselves was something that might be worth that investment and the loss of that 1 year.
Yeah. Talking with John Shannon. Now, that was the turnips and Brussels sprouts part of the interview. Now we can get onto the steak and the tasty stuff and talk about stuff that's a little more fun stuff. And I think
I like turnips and Brussels sprouts.
Well, there you go. I'm maybe not as much of a fan, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah. Let's head to the ice cream part of it then. Okay. Everybody likes ice cream. You were sort of hinting at it, talking a little bit about the Flames, etc. Let's look at the Canadian teams at this point in the year. Biggest surprise and biggest disappointment. Start with the surprise. You're allowed to say Calgary.
Biggest surprise, I think, is Winnipeg. I'm not surprised about Calgary because as people know, I do enough of the Flaming games on TV to know who they are and what they are. And it really shouldn't surprise very many people about how good this team is at times this season. With the way Bob's run the teams, but Winnipeg, with the amount of points they have, with the coming of age of some of their young guys and the maturation of guys like Blake Wheeler and even a guy like Andrew Ladd and Brian Little, particularly with all the injuries they've had to face on the blue line. I mean, they've adjusted my thinking in the Western Conference, and even some of the trophies that you give out at the end of the year, they've adjusted them too.
Because there are some people who think that, you know, behind the stands, there's a guy behind a curtain with the wheel going, Oz has spoken, you know. People just, they're trying to look at it and say, how are they doing this? And obviously, Paul Maurice coming in as the coach has helped. But it's still hard to kind of put your finger on exactly what changed. You made the point about Sean Monahan and the difference he made with the Flames. Is there a guy or a situation that maybe turned that for Winnipeg?
Dustin Byfuglien. Dustin Byfuglien is playing like Dustin Byfuglien and everybody expected him or thought he could play when he was not as focused. And he's a monster. And there is nobody in the National Hockey League with his skill set. There truly isn't anybody with his skill set. And right now he's playing at an elite level. And I mean, if he keeps this up, honestly, and it may sound ludicrous, if he keeps it up, he's going to have to get some consideration for the Hart Trophy.
Yeah.
And he's one of those guys that, and before the season started, I asked somebody inside the organization, what's going to be the key? And they said, well, goaltending. And we assumed at that point it was going to be Andre Pavlik, Evander Kane, and Dustin Byfuglien. Well, you know what? Kane has been Kane, although he's been much better of late. But Dustin Byfuglien has been a monster. And their goaltending has been exceptional when you consider that Pavlik seems to have regained a bit of his composure, but Michael Hutchinson has done an amazing job.
Yeah. Byfuglien seems to be the new Zdeno Chara. I mean, he seems to be that guy around the league.
Yes.
People are talking about
him. And can actually, you know, Chara in front of the net on the power play is one thing. But, you know, if Paul Maurice can make the decision for two or three games to put Byfuglien as a forward, and he seems to be just as effective.
Yeah, it's kind of Brett Burns, but an elevated version of Brett Burns. I guess the only question about him will
be,
I guess the only question about him will be when he gets the really serious dollars, is he the same player at that point? I mean, and we won't know that for a little while.
Well, can he sustain it for 82 games? Yeah. I mean, you know, that's the one question we've been asking about the Jets since mid-November.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's take the other side of the coin and most disappointing team in at least of the Canadian teams for you. I'm guessing here, but go ahead.
I think it has to be Edmonton. I really do. I think that there was an expectation that they were going to work as hard as, say, the Flames, and that their young guys would finally gel. And I didn't have them in the playoffs, but they would work hard and be an obstacle.
Yeah.
And I only think that that's happened in the last 4 weeks. So overall, I think that what went on between October the 8th and January the 1st has to rule them as the big disappointment. I think the easy thing would be to pick the Maple Leafs, but yeah. I'll be honest, I didn't have the Maple Leafs in the playoffs either, and I don't like their core group. So yeah. I think that the Maple Leafs are what the Maple Leafs are.
Well, you get stopped all the time on the street, I know, because you're a well-known personality on TV. And people must ask you, what is the thing in Edmonton? When they say to you, John, what is it in Edmonton? How do you explain it?
Well, the goaltending sucked. Bruce, the goaltending sucked for a long time. And, I mean, that's the one thing that the Flames have been able to put in perspective is that, you know, Hiller, you know, he was able to put a streak together at one point. Ramo was able to put a streak together at one point. And even Yoni Ordio was able to put a streak together. Well, there have been no streaks in Edmonton for Scrivens and Fast. That they have been a huge issue that way. That's one thing.
Yeah.
And then the inconsistency of Eberle and Hall and, a porous defense. I mean, when you can say that the best player, most effective player on the team early in the season and right now is Benoit Pouliot, you've got a problem.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy and a good player, but, I mean, when he's the catalyst, then you've got a problem.
Yeah. I mean, it is a fire drill watching them on the back end. I guess the big issue here, and we were talking about this yesterday, let's get back to the Flames, is this question about what are we going to do with Yanni Ordio here? We've got a guy who is starting to hint that maybe he is the future. We're coming back out of the All-Star break. He had a kind of a so-so last game, but anyhow, you've seen enough of the games to know how good he is.
Yeah.
What is your sense? Do you run with this guy now and find out who he is, or do you feel like you owe it to your fans here to put the best, most reliable guy back in net, supposedly, to make sure you get into the playoffs? What do you do if you're in that position, John?
Well, to me, when you look at Ramo's an unrestricted free agent in the summer. Somebody may need a goaltender by trade deadline day. I think Ramo is the odd man out. That may be a little superficial, but to me, that's where you have to like what Ordio's done. But is five games enough this season? I mean, he hasn't even started a game at the Saddle Dome yet, Bruce.
I know. Is
five games enough to know that this guy's the real deal? And I'm sure that that's the one question that, you know, Brad is asking everyone right now. Is five games enough? And I don't think it is. So between now and, like, give him as many games as you can in the American League, and between, and unless Hiller and Ramo get hurt, but and then make a decision on one of the two guys that you're going to be able to play between now and the trade deadline, and try to figure out who can be your best asset to get something for the long term for the Flames. I do think that's what Brad will do, and I do think in the end that if you pin me down and ask me which guy it would be Ramo.
Yeah. The question would be, do you give him the Eddie Lack 17 games and 18 start or 17 starts and 18 games thing and just see what happens? Anticipating that it could go wrong, but he has to learn by losing sometimes.
No.
Because your fans here are excited.
No, you know what?
They think they're in the playoffs.
You still have Hiller under contract for another year. You don't want him feeling that he's going through in Calgary what he went through in Anaheim. I mean, that perspective, I think, I think Jonas Hiller is still a very good goaltender.
Yeah.
In the long run, he's not going to let you down.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, the currency of the Flames are still building for the future. This is not a team that's going to win the Stanley Cup this year.
I know, but people want to be in the playoffs again, John. We're getting close.
Yeah, I know, but you can't lose sight. You can't lose sight of long-term stability.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't lose. I mean, that's what the Leafs have done so badly for 10 years is they lost sight of that long-term stability. Do it right. You know, I think that's what Brad for Living will do. Take your time. Be patient. If you can get another, I mean, the currency for Kari Rammo, the currency's been set for goaltenders already. Devan Dubnyk got you a third-round pick.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So is Rammo better than Dubnyk? Probably. Between now and March 1st, you're going to be able to prove that. And all of a sudden, if you can get another second-round pick, I mean, heck, we were at top prospects last night in St. Catharines, and there are some good young hockey players coming.
Yeah.
And that's just not in the Canadian junior system. There's some good, hot prospects coming out of the U.S. college and out of Europe that are going to make a difference. Be patient. Take your time. Build long-term. The Flames have done it right. They've excited their fans. I still think they're going to make the playoffs now. And from that perspective, it'll be one of those situations that you say, okay, we got an asset back for Rammo. Now let's go and figure out how we use that asset. We still made the playoffs, so life is good, and we got something that will help us long term.
Yeah. Just real quickly, one guy who we haven't really heard of that caught your eye last night, was there a guy who you did the old double take, the old Lucy double take when you saw him play?
Yeah, the guy, a kid out of Halifax named Timo Meyer. He's a Swiss kid that was not really on anybody's radar this summer, wasn't on anybody's radar early in the Q MJHL season in Halifax, and then has come on and played very well for the Swiss at the World Junior Championships, and he got a chance to play with McDavid last night, and he took full advantage of it. He's big. He can shoot. He's not afraid to use his body. This guy could have worked his way into the first round.
Yeah. John, I appreciate it, as always, taking the time to talk to us and get teased a little bit once in a while. Appreciate it. Now, you're not going to Columbus, are you?
No, we actually have a junior hockey game tonight that people in Calgary might be interested in. Kamloops at Victoria. It starts at 8:30 Mountain Time on Sportsnet, all the regions.
Well, you see, you're such a good broadcaster. You just knew that we were about to segue into a Hitmen segment, so there you go. You've done my job for me. You've done this.
Segues are my life.
Again, I appreciate it, and we'll be talking to you again soon, I hope.
Okay, Bruce.
Take care. There you go. John Shannon joining us at the game last night in St. Catharines with Brad Treliving and a whole bunch of people. All watching for the next superstars on the horizon. Interesting stuff, and interesting stuff about the Canadian dollar, where it goes, what happens, what it means to the league, etc. And as he just so helpfully did, we're about to head into our junior hockey segment. The Pearl Brad Curl is going to join us in a moment. He has an interview with head coach Mark French. Going to talk a little bit about that and lots more. You're listening to Hockey Central. Bruce Dobigan with you back after this.
Weekday mornings on your way into work at 8:05 a.m. Find out what's happening behind the scenes with the Calgary Flames. Eric Wills is on the Flames beat in the dressing room on the road with the guys. If it's happening on or off the ice, he knows it first. Clear, concise, and easy to understand. Eric Wills talks Calgary Flames with Boomer. Flames Inside Intel with Eric Wills. Brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. Check out Varsity's all-out clear-out event on now or go to VarsityChrysler.com and shop where Geo shops. Proud to be home for the Calgary Flames. Sportsnet 960. The Fan. Hockey Central is brought to you by Boston Pizza.
New Budweiser Red Light pitchers and glasses at Boston Pizza. Watch them light up when your Calgary Flames score. Visit participating Boston Pizza restaurants on a Calgary Flames game day for your chance to win a VIP trip for two to a Flames road game. Catch all the Calgary Flames action at Boston Pizza for your chance to win with Budweiser. Must be at least 21 years of age with a valid Canadian passport to enter. No purchase necessary. Some restrictions apply. See in store for details. Budweiser and Boston Pizza are proud sponsors of the Calgary Flames.
The Ice with Strombo and Merrick. Brought to you by Rogers NHL Game Center Live. All right, All-Star Weekend is upon us. Our resident All-Star is gentleman Jeff Merrick.
Oh, my.
What is he looking forward to? How will you enjoy your broadcast? He'll tell you next.
Hi, Mark Messier here with the Cameron family, who share a love of hockey. They have a share everything plan with Rogers, so they can watch Rogers NHL Game Center live from anywhere.
That's right. Jenny watches on her smartphone at the cafe, Jimmy at the library, and Jason on the bus.
So a family that likes to travel with the team.
Oh, we love road games.
Nice.
This season's pass subscription to Rogers NHL Game Center Live is free for our Share Everything customers. Standard data overages and roaming charges, blackouts, and other restrictions apply. See rogers.com/NHL.
All right, Jeffy, with All-Star Weekend upon us, we've got the draft tonight, then we've got the skills comp tomorrow, and then we've got the big game on Sunday. What are you looking forward to?
Skills competition is always fun. How fast can they skate? How accurately can they shoot? How hard can they shoot? That's always a lot of fun. How goofy can the tricks be? That's always a good time, too. But the one thing that I look forward to, and I know it flies contrary to what everybody says about the actual game itself, which is it's not a competitive game. There's no body checking. It's dangerous for goaltenders because they have to work just as hard as they do in an NHL game, and they have the most risk to get injured. But the reason I look forward to the game itself is I'm a bad men's league hockey player. Like, I play and I've played bad men's league hockey teams for years. And what the All-Star game is to me, George, is the best pickup game of the year. You will not see a better pickup game in any rink all over the world. Of course, there's no body check. It's not competitive. But if you've seen beer league hockey, either is any of that. I go into the All-Star game saying, I want to see the best pickup game I'm going to see all year long, and every year this game delivers. What about you, Strombo?
That's exactly what I want. I want to see some showboating. I want to see some laughing. I want these guys who never, ever break character to, for one moment, show us just how much they love to play.
Sportsnet 960, The Fan, proud home of the Calgary Flames in the National Hockey League. We've got your way into the dome for every Flames home game. Fan Club members, use your points to enter to win great seats to Flames hockey. Enter often, it's easy and free. Sportsnet.ca/960 to become a Fan Club member. Flames tickets from Calgary Flames Radio, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The crossover to Honda event is on at Okotoks Honda. Drive away in a 2015 Honda CR-V from only $70 a week. Pilot from $107 a week, or a Civic for $42 a week. Purchase any new or pre-owned vehicle this month, and you can choose a $250 gas card, $250 of Honda accessories, or a $250 trade incentive. Or choose an autographed jersey from McGrattan, Joris, or Diaz. Score a deal at Okotoks Honda. Visit OkotoksHonda.com.
Remember video store clerks? Usually kind of pale, artsy, glasses. Seen everything ever made. Maybe a little judgy when you rented Robot Hustle 4. But it was done out of love. Yeah, experts. We kind of miss them. They're the inspiration behind Show Me, Canada's new way to enjoy hand-picked collections, great movies, and exclusive TV hits you won't find on any other subscription streaming service. It's for people who want to see what's good. Made by experts who've seen it all. Show me what's good.
The Roughnecks Lacrosse Party is back tomorrow night at 7 p.m. for Pete the Plumber's Superhero Day. Dress up and join the fun. It's your Roughnecks take on the Edmonton Rush. For more information, visit CalgaryRoughnecks.com. Come for the party. Stay for the game. Ryan Pinder talks snow on Tuesdays at 9:25 a.m. in Sportsnet 960's Snow Show. The mountains are so close to us, but before you head west, check in with Ryan as he'll have the details on the best trails, powder, equipment, vacation spots, deals, tips, and more. If you ski or snowboard, we've got it for you. It's all brought to you by Luz Performance Center. Unmatched technical ski expertise. Visit lous.ca. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Mobile, magazine, TV, online, and on your radio. Sportsnet 960. The Fan. Listen like never before. Hockey Central at noon continues only on Calgary's hockey station. Sportsnet 960. The Fan.
I'm Bruce Dobigan with you. Pat Steinberger away until Tuesday, which just happens to be the day the Flames get back to work against the Buffalo Sabres at home. 10 of 12 games at home. 10 of the next 12 games are at home as we head forward. So obviously a big patch of action for the Flames coming up. Something you really need to know about, the Nathan O'Brien Hockey Charity Fundraiser is coming up on February the 5th at 6 o'clock at the Saddle Dome, Scotiabank Saddle Dome. Calgary Flames alumni will face off against Nathan's Heroes. That's a team made up of sponsors, MLAs, and officers from the Calgary Police Services who were involved with the Nathan O'Brien investigation. Puck drop by former NHL goalie and sportscaster on Sportsnet, Kelly Rudy. Tickets $5 to Ticketmaster. Cash donations are being accepted at the door. Funds raised go to the Nathan O'Brien Children's Foundation and will be directed towards a number of Alberta charities, including Children's Cottage Society, Brown Bagging for Calgary's Kids, and the Flames Even Strength Program. The Nathan O'Brien Children's Foundation has been established in memory of 5-year-old Nathan O'Brien, who disappeared along with his grandparents and have not been found since. The foundation is to honor a promise that Nathan's spirit would live and support children that need a helping hand. So absolutely something that requires your attention. And February the 5th at the Dome, as I say, $5 tickets through Ticketmaster. Well worth your time. Apparently, it's not worth some people's time to show up to the All-Star break. Okay. This just in, as they say, shoving papers in front of me. Not showing up on time. Sidney Crosby pulled the chute. A bunch of guys who are injured or bored or otherwise are not at the All-Star game. Meanwhile, P.K. Subban, who is apparently perfectly healthy and willing to be there, has not been told that he can show up. Now, this hasn't pleased a lot of people. In a couple of seconds, we're going to hear from Alexander Ovechkin, who does show up for these games. Like, can you imagine, like, if Ovechkin didn't show up, but Crosby did, can you imagine what the press would be like? I mean, they'd be all over Ovechkin, but, oh, well, Sidney's hurt, he's this, he's that. You know, make it the same for both guys. As we said earlier, you know, if you had gone to Columbus to hang around the All-Star break this weekend, and then when Crosby pulled the chute, you might be the guy who they picked to fill in at the All-Star game. But luckily for Flames fans, Johnny Gaudreau was that guy sitting there. Otherwise, nothing to do on Sunday afternoon, and they called his number. So Gaudreau is going to play in the All-Star game this weekend, and he's mighty pleased.
Johnny, the funny story I heard yesterday was you get off the plane into Columbus and about 50 autograph seekers descend on you to get your autograph. What was that experience like?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great experience. It's a great experience to be a part of this whole weekend, and that's one of the things to be a part of, signing autographs. And there's plenty of people there to sign things for, but, it's a great experience for me.
What's the thing that you're looking forward to most about this particular weekend?
I think just being a part of the whole process here, meeting new guys, getting to watch the All-Star game, being a part of the skills competition. And, it's as a rookie and as a younger guy, it's, really good for my career to, be a part of something like this.
I asked Tarasenko the same question because it's his first experience. Is there anybody in particular you want to go meet, walk up to, talk to, pick their brain?
Yeah. I mean, not anyone in particular, but there's, really anyone I could ask here. They'd help, really, really help me, and it'd be beneficial for me to, go up and talk to and, ask how their rookie season went and how they, just playing in this league and what little things that I could use to beneficial for me.
What's the biggest thing you've learned so far this season?
Yeah, I think for me it's making sure playing well defensively in our zone. Bob Hartley's pretty crucial on the defensive side of the puck as well as the offensive side, and he thinks you need to be a two-way player, so I think that's pretty important to me.
I don't think there's going to be a lot of two-way play this weekend, though. I don't think you have to worry about that if you get to go in the All-Star game itself.
Yeah, that'd be a great experience for me. Hopefully, that happens, but if not, just watching the game and watching these skilled guys play hockey on the ice will be pretty cool to see.
Final question for you. The beginning of this year, every young player says, I want to establish myself in the National Hockey League. I want to show I'm a player. If someone would have told you, you would have been here this weekend, possibly playing in the All-Star game itself, what would your reaction have been?
Yeah, I mean, I was would have been a little bit surprised, obviously, because in my rookie season, I was just hoping to make the team right out of the gate and then try to play as many games as I can and, help offensively a little bit. But, really fortunate to be playing with a lot of the players on the team that really helped me contribute offensively. So I'm really, really fortunate.
Good luck, Johnny. Enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, thank you.
And, of course, that's Elliot Friedman interviewing Johnny Gaudreau in Columbus at the All-Star game. And, listen, they say life belongs to the people who show up. He was there. He's going to seize the moment, and I'm sure the rest of hockey fans in North America will be pleased to watch Johnny Hockey and see what Calgary fans have gotten so used to. I mentioned before, as I say, sensitivity about guys coming to the All-Star game or not coming to the All-Star game. A few years ago, it was Nicholas Lidstrom. The league wasn't happy that Nick had decided he was going to take a powder. They brought some sort of discipline against him. I mean, he showed up every year for umpty-ump years in a row, but you know what? That they wanted him there. Sidney Crosby, now the questions are being raised a little bit about whether Sidney Crosby is showing enough attention to these events. If it's me, the guy puts everything he's got into his game. He's an example of hard work, etc. These kind of showboat events like the All-Star game, I don't feel that badly that he's not there. I don't care. But the league does, right? And one of the guys who's duly noted that Crosby isn't there, but Ovechkin is none other than the Great Eight himself.
There, Elliot Friedman. We are finger cooking lunch today. We ordered online at bostonpizza.com. Over 100 delivery items to choose from at Boston Pizza. It's keeping warm because we're here in another half hour.
They're bringing it here today? No.
Yes, of course they
perfect,
are.
Perfect.
Back here at the Hockey Central Suite with Doug McClain, Damian Cox, I'm Darren Millard. And we're joined by Alexander Ovechkin, who pops in. Appreciate your time today. Yeah. You've done a number of these now. You're one of the guys that really gets into it. What do you have planned for us this weekend? Just get to hold mic up.
Yeah, actually, it's not about the plan. It's all about the game and make fans happy. And, you know, again, it's a fun time, and we have to do it. It's fun.
Alex, I was in Washington for the outdoor game, and talk about an amazing day and making the fans happy. That was a great experience. And you looked like you were having a ball out there.
Yeah, it was a... probably one of the best experience what I have then you know for all organization was it was very important you know important game important day and you know everything was perfect. Unbelievable yeah unbelievable.
It was perfect and a great way to end the game.
Oh yeah, we forgot about that. Yeah.
You talked about the All-Star game. You still enjoy it, going out there and entertaining a little bit and playing in a different kind of an atmosphere?
Yeah, because, you know, sometimes if it's All-Star game, it's have to be fun. You know, you play in one team with best players on up there right now, you know, and some of them get hurt, but, you know, it is what it is. And again, for me, it's all about fun. You know, you look at the game, it's a fun time. Especially right now.
You look at your team and the way you're playing and, you know, the addition of the defenseman, the emergence of Holtby, you know, playing so well, and you and Backstrom as a combination, the addition of Trotz, things look like the team looks like it's ready to take a major step.
Yeah, you're right. We can start from our goaltending, and, you know, Holtz was unbelievable the last couple of months, and you know he started working hard. You know, like he's focusing, and the guys feel like if somebody will make a mistake, like he's there to save it. And our defense play well right now. The system is working, and you know we right now in the same boat. Like everybody in the same boat, and nobody wants to jump in and run. You know, it's great, great feelings in the locker room, and you know it's always fun and great to be in this kind of position when you know like your team play well and your line playing well as well.
Capitals all-time leader in points, Alexander Ovechkin. You've really embraced this All-Star weekend, and we look forward to something special in the Breakaway Challenge.
I don't know.
Kate, glasses. Come on, man. Yeah.
But I'll say I was officially retired, so.
We'll bring you back.
And Malkin's not here to put on the show.
Yeah, you see, so I have to find my partner somewhere.
There's Alexander Ovechkin as we bring back Elliot Friedman one more time with Mike Hawk.
There you go. An excerpt from Hockey Central, the crew. Free pizza ad right in the middle of all that. But that was Alexander Ovechkin talking about being at the All-Star game. We talked earlier with John Shannon a little bit about the impact of the dollar on salaries, et cetera, going forward in the NHL. The Canadian dollar down around the 80-cent mark, maybe headed even further south, some people think. One of the guys who's in line for some major dollars down the road is none other than Steve Stamkos. He was at the All-Star game interviews this morning and had a chance to chat a little bit too.
to the suite and joined us. We were just bugging Drew Doughty about his golf game, and then you walk in and say, I got my golf game in yesterday. How is it?
It was better than I thought. I hadn't played for a while, so it was nice to get a little break. Caught the late flight last night, so snuck in around with a couple guys yesterday morning.
You take it pretty seriously. I know you get out quite a bit just north of Toronto.
I try, yeah. Anytime we're not in the gym, we're at the golf course, so you'll find us at either spot. But it was funny. Gary was actually down. We were shooting a little commercial last weekend, and we didn't get a chance to golf, but we got out to one of those new driving ranges that they have the targets, so we were practicing. He was kicking my butt,
and letting me know.
But I wish we would have golfed, because once I got on the course, the results were actually better.
We were joking around with Getzlaf leaving California. Where do your teammates go when you're already in Florida?
Well, I'm constantly checking the Instagram, and guys are in Cabo, guys are in Bahamas, guys. Some guys are just going down to Sarasota or Key West, so it's tough watching those, but we're definitely going to try to have some fun here this weekend.
I was going to say, is there any part of this, and we know some guys aren't able to come, but to you that says, boy, I could use a break for a few days?
Well, I think in the back of everyone's mind, you could use a break, but you kind of have to look at this that it's a pretty cool event. It's for the fans. And you never know how many you're going to play in your career. This, you know, hopefully there's a lot more in the future. But the kind of attitude I've had is try to enjoy them, have some fun, and just meet the guys. There's so many great players out there that you don't get a chance to meet on a personal level.
A lot of new guys this year, too.
Exactly. I mean, I'm still young, but I feel like one of the older guys now. But it's a great event. Like I said, you get to meet the guys, have some fun, pick their brains a little bit, and hopefully put on a show
for
the
fans. And
you
get a kick out of what it does for your family as well, I would imagine.
Yeah, I got the parents and the girlfriend down. My parents are driving down today, so they're probably en route. And, you know, they always have fun at these events, too. And, you know, obviously my parents are big hockey fans. My dad's a big hockey fan. Mm-hmm. So anytime he gets a chance to watch the best players in the world play, he loves it.
Does the girlfriend have a name?
Sandra, yeah. She does have a name.
You want to look into the camera and say big hello to Sandra?
Tell you what.
She's definitely not watching this right now, I'll tell you that much.
Joffrey Lupul.
Yes.
You did.
Yeah,
I pulled the Joffrey Leupold on you.
How different is it than your first one? How different do you feel?
Girlfriends or All-Star?
No, I'm sorry, All-Star game.
Okay, all right, just to make sure.
Okay, All-Star game. I mean, you're just so much comfortable in your surroundings now, even getting asked questions like that. You know, you feel like a veteran now answering those.
I had nothing to do with it.
It's, you know what, you come in your first time, and I know I was talking to Jonathan Drouin a little bit, Tyler Johnson. There's some nerves. You're playing against guys that you've watched growing up, especially when you're a young guy coming to these events. I remember just being nervous to talk to guys. Now, you come on the bus, you know everyone, you've seen guys in different events, you played with them, so you're just comfortable, and you know you're going to have a good time.
You mentioned Tyler Johnson. Mm. Marty St. Louis steps out, and we always hear the cliche that it's an opportunity for someone to step in. He obviously did.
He absolutely, and not only him too, but you look at Andre Palat, you look at Nikita Kucherov. I mean, those guys have been unbelievable for us this year, and they got that opportunity when I was hurt last year, when Marty got traded. They had to step up. They got thrown in the fire, and they responded. And I think what's even more impressive is how much better they've been this year after, you know, you're not flying under the radar anymore after the year they had, you know, the two Calder finalists. They've gone in and played great and been a huge part of why our team's been playing well.
I was going to say, it must be nice to show up to an event like this and be on one of the leading teams in the league, a team that is really up and coming, but is also with everything that's going on with ownership, what he's got planned for that area. Franchise in the NHL?
I hope so. I believe so. I think if you ask and you talk to Mr. Vinnick, he has that same vision. So I think, did you do that article?
I did,
yeah.
Yes,
so
yeah.
You know firsthand.
And pretty impressive guy.
Unbelievable. And just to see the way he's come in and not only built the team up, but the amount of time and his own money that he's put into just building the community. I mean, that community hero program that we do every game, the rink. It's a fan experience, and I think it obviously helps having a good team, but he's willing to do whatever's necessary to help us be that.
You know you're crushing Toronto Maple Leaf fans when you talk about a great future in Tampa Bay. Is it too early to think talk about long-term plans here,
You know what? It's I've had a great ride in Tampa so far, and I want to win there, and I know we're probably going to talk about this more once the season ends and the summer rolls around, but I couldn't be more happier than where I am right now. I've had a chance to be on the lows of hockey, and now we're kind of riding that wave and becoming one of the more consistent teams in the league, and it's been an unbelievable place to play, and now you have an owner like that who's willing to do whatever it takes, and you bring in a GM like Steve Yzerman and our coaching staff. I mean, things are going well for us right now.
I know you're...
There you go. Steve Stamkos talking with the boys, the Lunch Boys. And in case you don't know, the Lunch Boys, their motto is, but enough about Toronto. Let's talk about the Maple Leafs. Every conversation. I'm amazed. Well, of course, it was Elliot Friedman who knows better, but I'm sure if they had Kiprios in there, he'd have asked him about when he's going to play out his contract and sign with the Maple Leafs. Johnny Goodrow. Because everybody wants to play in Toronto. Ah, dear. Hey, listen, everybody wants to play in Calgary these days. The Flames are doing well. A Hitman, they're fifth in the Eastern Conference. Got an interesting weekend ahead of them. Swift Current, Edmonton, and Vancouver. When we come back, Brad Curl will be talking with Mark French, the head coach.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan is proud to be home for the Calgary Flames and the National Hockey League. When the Flames are on the road, our home away from the dome is Shag Sports Grill. Two great locations, Crowfoot in the northwest and on McLeod Trail south. You know Shag's, the best hockey atmosphere in Calgary. Join Pat Steinberg for every Flames road game at Shag Sports Grill on McLeod Trail south. Every seat is a great seat at Shag's. All those big screens, you gotta be there to cheer your Flames on when they're on the road. Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Calgary Flames Radio.
This January on OLN, the bidders are back. And that means more riches.
Yes!
More rubbish.
Smells like money.
That's poop.
And definitely more rudeness.
Get out of here!
Aren't Canadians supposed to be polite? Storage Wars Canada, Thursdays at 7 on OLN. Want more? We knew you would. So OLN's bringing you two brand new series, Close-Up Kings and Hillbilly Preppers, along with new seasons of The Liquidator and Storage Wars. That's all happening this winter on OLN.
When it comes to buying a compact car, you've got a couple of great choices. But there's one that really stands out. One with models and trims for every taste. One where steering wheel audio controls and Bluetooth come standard. One with legendary dependability and value. One we like to call Corolla. And right now, if you get the 2015 Corolla during Toyota's Boxing Month event, you don't pay for 90 days. When you look at it like that, it's not really a choice at all. The 2015 Corolla. It's the only choice.
Hello, Alpine Credits.
I own my home. I need money for...
What rhymes with approved?
Is that a word?
Probably not.
Approved. Got a hint?
You own your home, so you are...
Approved. Bloofed.
Really?
I got this. Okay, I give up.
You are approved.
At Alpine Credits, we try to approve all home equity loan applications.
Making your home equity work for you. Alpine Credits.
Visit alpinecredits.ca.
Some conditions apply.
When making the decision to buy, one must ask themselves, do you want to own a home or have the bank own you? With condos and townhomes in New Brighton starting in the low 200s, The Elements by Cedar Glen Living gives you ownership without the high cost. Equipped with quartz countertops, engineered laminate, front load washer dryer, stainless steel appliances, and more. Quality homes, uncompromising standards, affordable living. Visit The Elements by Cedar Glen Living. Show home at 1075 New Brighton Drive Southeast.
NHL, CFL, NFL, MLB, NLL, WHL, and lots more letters. We cover them all. Sportsnet 960, the FAN. Hockey Central at noon continues, only on Calgary's hockey station. Sportsnet 960, the FAN.
Bruce Stobing on board for a Friday afternoon. Pat Steinberg away till Tuesday, which of course is when the Flames resume playing the Buffalo Sabres at the Dome. 10 of the next 12 games are at the Dome for the Flames, so if there's a time to make hay, this is it. You could probably say the same for the Calgary Hitmen, sitting fifth in the Eastern Conference with a 24-17-1 record. Busy weekend. Swift Current, Edmonton, and Vancouver. The Edmonton game on the road. Swift Current and Vancouver here at the Dome this weekend. Brad Curl had a chance to talk with head coach Mark French in preparation for the games.
Mark, before we look at a busy weekend for your club, three games in three nights, just want to look back to last weekend, and we'll start with the Ryan Getzlaf ceremony. It's not often you get an NHL superstar that is recognized in a junior building right before a game. Just kind of take us through that event and what you think it meant for your team to see that.
Well, you never know how that's going to, if it's just speaking strictly as a coaching side of things, you never know how it's going to affect your group in terms of how you come out of that break. It's obviously a challenge when you're sitting for 15 to 20 minutes. But this was a special moment, and I think everybody was on the bench, players and the coaching staff were taken aback with how much it meant to him. And visually, we had a pretty good line of sight to his face and to his expressions, and I think that really told us a lot of how much his time here in Calgary meant to him, the organization, the city in general. So I think the players took a lot from it, and you know, there's some things that transcend a game, and I think that certainly was one of those things.
It was interesting talking to a few of the players at practice this week. They said they went back online and watched that tribute video. So what's it like to have a mentor, so to speak, playing in the National Hockey League that isn't in your dressing room but still casts a big legacy shadow such as Ryan Getzlaf does?
Well, the message that he sent to the guys before the game when he came into the room was, you know, he felt it wasn't so many years ago that he was sitting right in their same situation, same dressing room, same type of situation that a lot of the guys are in. So I would think that would resonate with some guys. The guy who's climbed to the highest levels of the hockey world, having the feeling that you have some commonality with them to have shared some of the things, probably is pretty pointed for some of the guys.
You haven't played since that Sunday game, that 5-2 win over Regina. Let's talk about a performance on the ice. Adam Tambellini, 29 goals, quietly not getting a lot of attention in terms of publicity, but he's third in the league in goals scored right now. What can you say about Adam's game?
Well, I thought it's no secret we were very disappointed in the Victoria game. So as a group, you're going to have those games that you're not happy with. But what you want is a response from your group. And I guess in some respects, a response from the right people in terms of the leadership. And I thought we really got that. And I was really proud of the way that our leaders took hold of that game. Adam obviously deserves a lot of recognition for what he did in that game, especially after they scored first. For him to come out very shortly later to be able to respond, I think, was an important moment in that game to give us a little bit of footing. And I'm not sure if I'm going to take away your next question, but Max Shields, I think, deserves a tremendous amount of credit for how he stood up. Even after we scored that goal, we weren't in great shape, and Mac really solidified our ability to keep the game tied until we got our footing into that game.
That was going to be my next question. Talk about Mac. No, it's a good thing, because I think at the trade deadline, it was talked about when you brought in Brendan Burke, that create some competition for the net. Have you seen that so far?
Yeah, and I think it wasn't ever an indication of what we thought of Mac. Hockey in general, when you're comfortable, it's not good. Mac's a great guy. He's got a tremendous work ethic. But I think to have a guy play at the level that he needs to play at, whether it's Berkey or whether it's Shieldsy, both those guys have to have that alter attention that there's somebody else behind them willing to push them. And as an organization, we need to have ourselves covered that we have two very good goalies. But it was very comforting to see Mac responding the way he did in that game.
Last one for you, and that's looking at this weekend. An intriguing situation, because you have three games in three nights, but yet you haven't played since last Sunday. So how'd you get your team ready this week to prepare for a tough schedule, but at the same time keep in mind that you want to keep their fitness level?
Yeah, it's I think there's some transition going on. We stayed 2 days off the ice, one away from the rink, one where we came in and did a real good workout, and then got on the ice for 2 days and really were specific about some of the things we worked on. As you mentioned, energy, focus, and all those things are extremely important in 3-on-3. So we wanted to put some energy or leave some energy in the bank here for this long stretch of important games. So hopefully it pays off.
Thanks for this, and good luck tonight against Swift Current.
All right, thank you.
And we're joined now by the Pearl, Brad Curl himself. How you doing, Brad?
I'm good. Yourself, Bruce?
I'm good. quite a race for the Hitmen regular season scoring championship going on between two guys. Dead heat so far.
Yeah, it's real interesting because you think of the age of this franchise, this, of course, being the 20th anniversary season. And on four occasions, there has actually been a tie for the scoring lead. The last time, ironically, was last year. Greg Chase and Brady Brassard both finished with 85 points. Prior to that, it hadn't happened since way back in 2007-08 when Kyle Bordes and Ryan White had 72 points each. And also happened two other times in franchise history. 05-06, Ryan White and Brody DuPont shared the lead, and so did Ryan Getz. Getzlaff and Andrew Ladd back in their heyday back in 2003-04. But Connor Rankin at 53 points, Adam Tambellini at 52 are the two in the microscope this year in terms of their competition for that team scoring crown. And it's interesting because it seems as though whenever one player takes the lead, the other player says, all right, anything you can do, I can do better. So they've really teeter-tottered over top of each other through the most part. And it's interesting because Mark French, who we just heard from, the head coach, has used that too on the same line for quite some time. The left winger will sometimes rotate through, but that has been a constant pair. So there's no sign that they'll be separated anytime soon, which would indicate that this race that they're currently in will go down to the wire. And it's interesting as well because I think it's good news for Connor Rankin. Adam Tambellini has already been drafted in the National Hockey League. It's a big year for him to have someone to push him, hoping that he will sign with the Rangers, of course, is his goal at the end of the year. And then you've got Connor Rankin, who's played over 300 games in the Western Hockey League, hasn't had that NHL experience, hoping to, you know, to turn some heads and catch some eyes and get a pro contract at the end of the year. So this is a healthy race and real intriguing to watch.
Central Scouting released their midterm rankings for the 2015 NHL draft this week. We heard a lot about that. We certainly saw the big names. Also a lot of Calgary flavor in it.
Yeah, we'll start with goaltender Aiden Hill, who's maybe the most under-the-radar guy, so to speak, when you consider, you know, how far he's come in such a short period of time. It wasn't that long ago when he was playing AAA midget here in Calgary with the Buffaloes, played with the Canucks in the Alberta Junior Hockey League last year. Well, he's really found his way this season with the Portland Winterhawks in the Western Hockey League. Spent a little bit of time towards the end of last year in Portland, and this year has really basically won the job. It led to the trade of Brendan Burke to the Calgary Hitmen because of Hill's emergence, and he's there's no question about it. He's really taking advantage of his opportunity. Currently leads the Western Hockey League in save percentage at .929 and is currently ranked 18th among goaltenders for the upcoming NHL entry draft in North Americans. And, you know, this list, Bruce, you look at it, and it's an intriguing one, and it's one that I'm sure that a lot of general managers around the National Hockey League are looking at and comparing, okay, we've got this player slotted in this spot. How does it compare to Central Scouting? And we always see it on draft day. All the analysts say, well, this team went off the board on this selection. The reason why I bring that up today, because there's a real intriguing tie, I think, to Calgary. Last year, when NHL Central Scouting came out with their midterm rankings and the CHL Top Prospects game was being held at the same time as we saw last night that game played, Travis Sanheim was not invited to the Top Prospects game. He was well down on the list in terms of recognizable skaters for the midterm rankings, but yet he was a first-round pick by the end of the season to the Philadelphia Flyers, the Calgary Hitmen defenseman. So that's the challenging part of junior hockey. You have to decide which players are plateauing, which players are just starting to find their way and take off, and which may have already, you know, reached that pinnacle and are now maybe not as highly touted as they were earlier on. But looking around, you know, Alberta and the Calgary area, the Hitmen have Pavel Karnikov, who's ranked 140th. Red Deer's got four players, among them Adam Musil. As we remember, his father, Frank, played with the Calgary Flames from 1991 to 94-95, and he's also the nephew of Bobby Holik, so he's got some good NHL bloodlines there. Lethbridge, a couple of players, and Andrew Nielsen and Cade Jensen in Medicine Hat with Matthew Bradley, Dryden Hunt, and Nick Schneider. So all kinds of Western Hockey League flavor, at least among the midterm rankings of the 2015 NHL draft.
And finally, a potential preview of the Western Conference final tonight in Kelowna.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think a lot of people feel that the Kelowna Rockets are the team to beat. You know, there's no question about it. You look at their blue line and their top two defensemen. Not only are they good enough to be the top two on the Kelowna Rockets, but they were the top two defensemen for Canada at the World Juniors, and Madison Bowie and Josh Morrissey, and then their forward group with Nick Merkley, the Calgary kid, who is highly touted for the upcoming NHL draft, currently ranked 13th among North American skaters. And then you've also got, of course, Leon Draisaitl, who was sent to the Kelowna Rockets after the Oilers released him and came over via a trade with the Prince Albert Raiders. So a lot of hype around the Kelowna Rockets, but maybe flying under the radar is the team that they will face this weekend, the Everett Silvertips. Everett and Kelowna right now lead their respective divisions. Kelowna's got 71 points. Everett's got 64. But the Silvertips under Kevin Constantine, who spent some time on the bench for the Flames in his day in the National Hockey League, has really caught fire. Everett 9-1 in their last 10, and Nikita Sherbak, who was a first-round pick of the Montreal Canadiens, they were able to pry him out of Saskatoon earlier on this year, and he's really come in and filled a scoring void. So a lot of people excited about Everett and Kelowna. They'll play a doubleheader this weekend. Not only tonight, they'll also